Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me. We have a delightful show. I hope you think so. We're going to be talking about securing stronger relationships. This is all relationships, family, friends, coworkers, spouses, significance, you name it. On a scale of barely existent to ride or die, where are your relationships? Do you have someone you can rely on? Someone who has your back? A confidant to share with, or a partner in crime? Maybe a mentor or a teacher? Who are you missing? We're going to talk through it all. And on the cusp of Mother's Day, we are going to talk about an idea I came up with called the Mothering Pact. It's all about developing connections and forging relationships. And in there somewhere, you need stronger relationships. Let's go back, way back to your birth. You needed to attach securely to your caregiver because it was a matter of life and death. You relied solely on that relationship for protection, nourishment, and comfort. Then as you grew, you followed this person or these people around because you were like a little sponge. You were learning everything you could about how the world worked. You wanted everything they had, and you wanted to be just like them. Now, you may not remember that, but then you started asserting your independence and wanting to do more on your own. No, mine. I want to do it. I got it. You started to explore other relationships too, with other friends and mentors, all the while exploring your own authority. Remember that? I think that was the first word my kids learned. Mine. Many people pride themselves on a tough upbringing and a chance to strengthen their independence. I've said it myself. My parents divorced when I was 8, and as a result, my mom went back to work. At first, my brother and I went to a babysitter, but then we became latchkey kids. Now, I don't even know if they still call it that anymore, but it just means we let ourselves into the house and we stayed home alone while mom had to work. Now, my brother was 3 years older and left on his own accord. He was off exploring, so I spent even more time alone. Now, independence can be a good thing. Learning to manage your own emotions and your own needs can be healthy when it's introduced in moderation. It's just interesting that people view independence as like the ultimate goal. But really, balance, that's all it comes down to, is a healthy balance. On one side of the pendulum, you have dependence, right? You're dependent on someone. And in the middle, you have independence. But then over to the far right, you have isolation. Now, taking care of yourself is great. Doing it all on your own and keeping people at arm's length is not, right? So we're going to talk about the difference between kind of both of those ideas. But let's keep growing up here, okay? So childhood friends are the best, wouldn't you agree? You learn so much, and you get to see how other families operate. You're still young enough to believe the world is your pearl, so you try all kinds of possibilities out. I was a child entrepreneur, always creating that next big business or finding a fast break. This story still makes me laugh today, but while holding on to the key and being under my own supervision, I decided to have a yard sale. Well, a room sale, actually. I shimmied a table down the stairs and out across the road, believe it or not, to the sidewalk across the street from my house. Then I collected things I thought I could live without, things like stuffed animals, some trinkets, and a stuck-up sticker book. Do you remember sticker books? They used to be my favorite. You know, you have all those empty pages and then pages of stickers, and you just go put the stickers in the right place. Now, I can't remember how long I was out there, and I'm not really sure how many customers I served, but I do remember a nice man who stopped by on his way home to buy his daughter a stuck-up sticker book for her birthday. I'm sure he was just trying to be nice, and thank goodness he wasn't a child abductor. I can just see my mother's face as she pulled into the driveway and saw her 9-year-old selling her worldly possessions on the side of the road. Can you imagine? Thank goodness I made it out of that error unscathed. Okay, on to high school and college. You've got more diverse friends, not just the people in your neighborhood or the ones who don't live too far out that your parents don't mind dropping you off. Remember that? You're like, where do they live? No, I don't think you can be friends with them. But they became your whole world. Every hour you weren't consumed with school, you were consumed with planning your next big adventure, right? You started relying on their feedback, their validation, and you start questioning your own family's true motives. Do they really want to support my dreams of being a rock star and a model in New York? Or are they just trying to keep me home doing chores? Right? There has to be a reason we have such a narrow view of the world at this age. I can remember saying to my oldest, I see how it's going to be here. You're going to have to do everything I say don't do so you can figure it out for yourself, right? And she did. But in a rare moment of growth at about the age of 22, she said to me, you were right about everything. I'm going to write my memoirs and it's going to be short because it's going to say mom was right about everything. And believe me, I made her repeat it more than once. I think it happens that way. You know, we have trials and tribulations and then revelations and awakenings, right? Some things are just not supposed to click until you're ready for them to make sense. Hopefully, you can keep it together while you're learning some of the tougher lessons. But let's keep going here. Now, couples form. And instead of just a good time, you start looking for a partner, someone that you can share the ups and downs with, someone to have your back, someone who gets you, someone who respects you, and someone you can grow with, and grow you will. Remember 21 and how you thought you knew it all? Holy cow. Remember the fiercely independent girl I was just talking about? No, me, not my daughter. I thought I knew it all. And I wasn't cocky. I was just fearless. I used to think my parents just trusted me, but now, hindsight, I see they probably had no idea how to control me. Well, she went through many phases, let me tell you. Good times, hard times, joyful times, and heartbreaking times as she grew. If you're lucky enough, you find the right person out of the gate. One that withstands the many masks and hats you will wear. The same goes for your friends. You know, it's difficult to go through every stage in life, like school, marriage, kids, jobs, transfers, divorce, aging, and just every other curveball that life throws your way. And keep those close relationships like you had as a child. It's equally difficult to make long-lasting relationships as your life evolves. You know, when your children are young, you migrate towards those young couples who have young children. Then you start a career and you find work friends who you definitely see more than your family. You go to church and now you have a whole spiritual tribe around you. Or you start growing apart with all the pressures of life And the fact that you've stumbled and succumbed to the busy excuse. Do you use that one? I'm busy. We close ourselves off because we have so much to do and no spare time to invest in anything or anyone. We're just busy. And then something happens in your life. You turn a corner, you hit a challenge, you lose your way, and you look up and you realize you don't have anybody to turn to. You've not taken the time to nurture your relationships, keep the lines of communication open, and as a result, you have no one to call. You know, social connections not only give us pleasure, but they also influence our long-term health in ways that are so powerful, almost as powerful as like getting adequate sleep or a good diet. You know, dozens of studies have shown that people who have satisfying relationships with family and friends and just their community are happier. They have fewer health problems and they live longer. You know, on the other hand, a lack of social ties is associated with depression and later life cognitive decline, as well as increased mortality. One study which examined data from more than 309,000 people found the lack of strong relationships increased the risk of premature death from all causes by 50%. Sheesh. We're just asking you to make more connections, make stronger relationships. Scientists are investigating the biological and behavioral factors that account for the health benefits of connecting with others. For example, they found that if it helps relieve harmful levels of stress, just being with another person, which can adversely affect coronary arteries, gut function, insulin regulation, and your immune system. Can you imagine? Your allergies could be better if you had better connections. Another line of research suggests that caring behaviors trigger the release of stress-reducing hormones. Just caring and nurturing another human being. A more simpler way to look at it is we learn from other people. We're all on this journey to the same destination. It's just that many of us take different paths at a different rate. It's important to get outside of your own ideas and your beliefs and broaden your mind. As you are growing, you're also forming opinions. Think about that. Where are you getting those opinions? You know, some of these came from that person you wanted to grow up to be, right? Your caregiver. And some of them you picked up, ran into, got showered with, and absorbed. But now they're yours. And in many cases, you will go to the mat to defend them. You know, the problem is your mind is growing too. And unless you challenge some of these ideas, you will never know if they still hold true or something you just remember a certain way. You can only do this by encountering alternative ideas. Remember, I said trials are tribulations and sometimes revelations and awakening. But sometimes they come from other people. We need each other to effectively grow. Look at your pool of friends that you have right now and that you've encountered throughout your lifetime. Can you see the different roles they played in your life? Not everyone is there to be a fun-loving playmate. Some are there to teach us. Some are there to lead us. And some are there to simply to make us laugh and see the lighter side of life. Others are there to challenge us, keep us on our toes. And some are there as roadblocks to cause us to go another way. Some need you. Remember, everyone's on their own journey at their own pace, and you may just be a little further ahead. Some connections you haven't even met yet, but you're supposed to. What if you're too busy? What if you're missing important connections because you think you're too busy? What valuable lessons have you missed, or where did you miss the intersection to help someone else? Where would you be if you made your connections a priority? Part of your routine. I think we take it for granted that those people and their stories will always be there, or that you will always be here to hear them. I'll get around to it when I'm not so busy. You know, the internet is an amazing resource, truly amazing. Never have we had so much content, so much entertainment, and so many answers right at our fingertips. It's the World Wide Web. You can go anywhere, you can see anything you want. You can sit down or pull out your phone, you know, to look something up, check social media, and hours later, you wonder where the time went. Thank goodness it's now unlimited. Yes, for those of you that don't remember, it used to be by the hour. Can you imagine? Well, as a result of unlimited, people are surfing the web and on the internet more frequently and for longer periods of time. There are over 5 billion Google searches a day. I don't even know how many I do, but it's a lot. There are approximately 1.94 billion websites in the world. The e-commerce industry will be responsible for about 3.45 trillion in sales in 2019. There are over 95 million photos and videos shared on Instagram daily. The average American spends 24 hours a week online. Doesn't it stand to reason that our in-person human connections are suffering? I mean, we already established how busy everyone is. So if you work a full-time job, 40 hours a week, and then you add in your sleep, 56 hours a week, plus your internet usage at 24 hours a week, that's 120 hours. Now, at the maximum capacity of 168, that means you only have 48 hours to make meaningful connections. Even the organized planner who's an extrovert is gonna find that a little challenging. I always quote Judith E. Glasser, but she's an organizational anthropologist, and she wrote a lot about sharing and sharing the connection that we get from another human and the fact that we can share and really light up the brain with happy chemicals. And she said, communication through interaction is less about the words spoken than it is about the interaction dynamics that take place at the nonverbal level. It's at this level that trust is established or not. Nonverbal. So before you craft a clever plan to use Skype or FaceTime as a way to maximize your 48 hours, think again. The rate at which information is transmitted is not enough to pick up on those subtle nonverbal cues. You know, voice inflection, body language, facial expression, and the pheromones released during a face-to-face interaction. These are all fundamental in establishing human relationships. And they're all missing from most forms of modern technology. Now, I'm really passionate about exposing the dangers of technology when it comes to communication. And believe me, I use it. I get it. You know, I work remote, so I have to use Skype. I have to use the internet, but I don't want it to replace our human connections. And it definitely shouldn't tip the scales to be more of the way that we communicate. I love what parenting expert and pediatric nurse Denise Daniel says. I love her perspective on this. Technology can be a big hindrance on interpersonal relationships. For all its benefits, technology can completely rewrite a child's brain pathways in a very different way than how would they would normally develop. Now, this is serious. She's talking about neurotransmitters, chemicals in the brain that relay information between nerves. A developing child is born with pathways that expand based on stimulation like a parent's voice, music, touch, and eventually play. They also help children file and organize endless pieces of information gathered at that age. Remember, I said we're always gathering information. That's what forms our opinions. But for children who spend too much time interacting through a screen, something happens. Their neural pathways change and different ones are created. It affects concentration, self-esteem, and in many cases, they don't have as deeply personal relationships. They lose empathy. We've seen kids like this that don't develop those sympathetic and empathetic skills they need. This is a great analogy that she uses. Think of it as the difference between looking at a picture of cool green grass and actually walking barefoot in it. The problem is the more people and children interact with a person or the real world through a screen rather than real life, the less emotion is attached to the exchange. That's scary. I've talked to early childhood teachers who will tell us that they don't get that two-way communication from the children coming into pre-K. When they're spoken to, they don't look them in the eye. The children won't respond, won't look at each other, are very shy, or out of control. They don't know how to have a two-way conversation. That's frightening. And I think it's important and why I always speak about it, because as a society, we're accepting it as normal. We're not putting our foot down and saying, absolutely not, I'm not gonna accept that. You know, Brian Kramer is an executive coach and the founder of the H2H movement, which stands for human to human. He also has a great way of putting it. We're told that loneliness and increased isolation can, in fact, be really damaging on our physical and mental health. It is a public health issue. It can be as harmful as smoking or drinking, and apparently we're living through an epidemic with more people experiencing acute isolation than ever before. And in a world where we're supposed to be easily connected, you know, with the rise of smartphones and the internet, you know, everyone's got email, everybody's got chat, but our interactions are becoming more shallow and less fulfilled, if anything. The inability to switch off and the blurring of online and offline identities is confusing for humans to deal with. Are we substituting physical, tangible relationships for something simplified, distant, and virtual? We're making ourselves more isolated. We've never felt so lonely, yet so connected. It would be too casual to suggest that it's just technology making us feel isolated, but it's becoming increasingly possible that it's a contributing factor and it can exacerbate existing feelings of loneliness. And I'm sure you're nodding your head in agreement. You might have even discovered that you are a little lonely and that you yourself would like stronger connections. It's all making perfect sense. You know, a doctor told me one time, if there was a pill guaranteed to keep you alive forever if you took it every day, people would still miss a day. It's just our nature. We see it, it's right there, we agree with it, yet we're slow to move and adopt anything new. I'm not asking you to turn the internet off. I'm definitely not doing that. people stream the show. And I'm not telling you to stop connecting on social media. But in everything we do, moderation and a healthy balance is key. That starts with evaluating where you are and how you feel. How are you feeling? It's essential that you have human relationships that are deeper and more meaningful than a weather update or a poke on Facebook. Time is not infinite and nothing is guaranteed. Don't put off today what you think you have time for tomorrow. You know, a friend of mine called me one day while she was taking her morning walk. I could tell she was worried. Her mother had been ill for quite a while, and something had just dawned on her. What would she do when she didn't have her mom to call anymore? She didn't have a large family, and her mother and what little family she did have lived 6 hours away. Who was going to fill that role for her? Who was going to be like a mother? That sparked a conversation about all the ways we've connected and shared with our mothers over the years. You know, she's the person you can bounce every crazy idea off of, and she would be supportive even if she knew how ridiculous it was. She's always ready to chat or go to lunch, even at a moment's notice. Mysteriously, she somehow always has the items that you forgot to get at the store, right? Or she could make them appear out of nowhere. She always had that right recipe to get a stain out or to make the perfect casserole at the last minute. And every time you drop the ball, she picks it up. But most importantly, she always lets you go on and on about yourself. You know, what is right or wrong at work, brag endlessly about your kids, and never make you feel guilty for a one-way conversation. As we reach a certain age, our kids have grown and now our parents are aging, it starts to become clear that we're the ones in charge. We've become our parents. When the reality hits us, it's pretty sobering. You might already be there. See, for decades, subconsciously, we knew we weren't the final say, but we had backup. You called your mom to ask every question under the sun. She was Google in your eyes. Either she had lived long enough to have all the experience, or, of course, she just knew it all. As the roles start to reverse, you're the one getting the calls. At first, it's things like technology or how to work the cable remote. But then it's other things like how to figure out an insurance bill or what goes in a particular recipe she always used to make. It can really creep up on you, and you can really be dumbfounded by how quickly it can happen. It was fun reminiscing that day, and we laughed and we cried, recalling all the wonderful memories of the way our moms had been there for us. And at the end of that, I told her, I will be there for you. It was that simple. Right then and there, we made a pact, a mothering pact, to always be that go-to for each other, to listen and support without judgment, and provide an encouraging word like mothers always do. You know, a mother's bond is the first and the deepest bond you create, and in most cases, the most significant loss you'll ever experience. Nurturing your friendships now can help you develop a strong support system so that you can be there. Be there for each other. Have a cause to celebrate, or a shoulder to cry on, or a hand to lead the way. A mothering pact. Do you have someone in your life that you could extend a hand and be a mothering pact or create a mothering pact for? How about you? You might need one yourself. nurturing those relationships now will keep that door open. Can you imagine if you didn't have a close relationship and then you needed someone? How awkward would it be to skip from A to Z and go right to the serious stuff? Think about a coworker you just met and then you tell them your life story. That's how awkward it could feel. But having someone go through all the ups and downs with you, be there for you at every turn, what a natural transition that would be. Think about your week. Is there a time that you could make nurturing your friendships a priority? I've said it before, hashtag it's a date. You know, when you feel like you need to reach out, do it. Don't wait. If you wait, an hour will turn into a day will turn into a week. Call a friend. Schedule a date. It's that easy. Even if it's weeks or months in advance, make it happen. I really appreciate you sticking with me and exploring your relationships. Sometimes that's hard to do. You know, we've all used the excuse, I'm too busy. Oh, girl, we should get together. And we never do. I can't believe it's been a year since I've seen you. We've all done it. It doesn't mean it has to continue that way. We have to put our foot down. We have to stop accepting this as normal. You know, I've talked about it before. We used to get in our car and go out and visit people, knock on their door, go up, bring a casserole, sit down, have a good long talk. And now we're looking at our phone. We're looking at our watch. We're trying to figure out where we got to be next. Our schedules are so tight. If we evaluate that, is it really that important? The things that we're doing, all the plates that you keep spinning, what if some of them just dropped? Are they really that important? I want you to think about that and really do some soul searching. You know, we started going way back. We talked about all the different ways we make connections. Now, I'm lucky enough to have a best friend since the age of 4. And we have been able to evolve as our lives have evolved. But I know that that's not the norm. You know, the norm is you move around, you lose touch, you get busy, and life happens, and you don't force that relationship back together and really nurture what you have. So I get it. You know, but we had all these wonderful relationships as we were growing up. And now as we get to empty nesting, and if you are at that point where you're empty nesting, now the kids are out, you're really looking for some stuff to do, this is a great time to reconnect with friends. Not only reconnect, why don't you try building new friendships? You know, reach out at the office. Maybe there's someone that doesn't have, you know, a lot of connections either. Maybe you want to invite them to lunch. Go get a grab a coffee together. You might find out you have a whole bunch in common. You know, you can work with people for years and never know anything personal about them. You might have a ton in common and you don't even know it. You know, we talked about sharing and the importance of sharing and the healthy chemicals and the healthy benefits. Imagine no more allergies. Now, I'm not making that claim. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but if it does work on your immune system to really have good, healthy connections, hey, it's worth a try for sure. We also talked about what happens when you don't and the negative health effects. We also talked about how technology plays a role in your communication. And again, how we've just accepted that to be the norm. I just read an article about sharing our emotions, and I have already been saying that, sharing our emotions with emoticons. And that's the whole reason why emoticons were built, is so that you could be more personal on your texts. Isn't that sad? Instead of saying, hey, texts are not personal, let's stop doing them and let's talk to people, we decided, it needs a little bit more emotion. Let's put a little yellow guy with a bunch of faces. Right? you see what's happening here. But we say, oh no, great. I need some more emoticons. Boy, I'm going to go download some more because these have even more faces because I have a lot of moods. I'm a pretty moody person. I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but it's happening. And I hope you are too. So we need to look at that pool. We need to see how we're communicating, where our friends are, where are our strongest connections. Look for those. Don't be a statistic. Let's not fall into that trap. Let's change it and set the precedence for the generation to come. I realize that it's a challenge. And for anyone working with that age group, it is a challenge, but I know you can do it. So I am going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to make your connections a priority in your life. Stop hiding behind busy and reach out to a friend. Go deeper in your relationship. And when the time is right, create that support system. Be there for one another and add a little more joy into your life. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.